Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. It's right before Esther and right after the book of Ezra. We'll be in chapter 8, but start in chapter 1. Nehemiah. Kind of do an overview of what's going on in this book. Let's read the first three verses in Nehemiah chapter 1. Just give an overview. We'll work our way to chapter 8. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. And Hanani, one of my brethren, came he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of captivity, concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heaven. So this chapter 1, the Lord brings it to the mind of one of his chosen to his mind and his heart to rebuild the wall at Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah petitions the king of Persia. Chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? Is there nothing else but sorrow of heart? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost you make request? And I like this. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Before he answers the king, he goes to his he knows his petition is going to be heard. For he has a high priest that intercedes for him, as we do. And this is just daily living. Before we answer, maybe ask the Lord what you should answer. So he said in verse 5, and I said to the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may rebuild it, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, and the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. So not only is Nehemiah petitioning by the direction of God, he's petitioning the king of Persia for aid and for letters to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The next thing we see is that Nehemiah begins under the blessings of the Persian king and supremely under the blessings of the Lord God over all to rebuild the wall and to help the remnant who is still in Jerusalem, who weren't carried away captive to Persia, to help him build the wall. Now look with me at chapter 6. Well, not everybody's happy. Not everybody's happy that this place is, if they know about this place in Jackson, that the gospel is preached there. It's like, you know, you guys, This is a reality. This is a truth of the matters. The last post, Facebook post that I boosted in the 30-mile radius, everybody gives a thumbs up, but there's always one or two, and they don't like it. They can't stand it. You know, they're getting on to me, and that's just the way, that's just the nature of it. That's the nature of it. So we find here, Nehemiah is progressing nicely. He's got letters. So when somebody says, what are you doing? He says, God shows them the letter of the king. They back off. Now, in verse chapter 6, there's enemies of Nehemiah, which is our enemies of God and enemies of the grace of God and enemies to the free salvation in Christ. They try to hamper the work as it proceeds. Look at chapter 6, verse 1, 2, 3. Now, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they sought to do me mischief. I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Now, this is for us in this place right here. Let's keep faithful to his work here in Jackson. Don't let the enemies of the gospel, don't let the enemies of grace or our own flesh take us away from the importance of what's going on here. No matter what or who tries to dissuade us, family, friends, neighbors, things of this world, we are doing a great work. And you look at it, and people are like, what great work? The glory of God is being preached here. Can't leave it. We won't leave it. And we're not going to have people say, I've seen this happen, and I've seen this happen numerous times, when either Wednesdays or Sundays or whatever it may be, it seems like we've, you know, this is years ago, there were people who would say, well, can you come over Sunday morning? No, can't do it. They would purposely try to persuade the people who were members here to not be here. We cannot stop preaching. We cannot stop teaching. We cannot stop attending the work of God in Christ Jesus. It's simply put, remain faithful. And I know stuff happens. I know family situations happen. I know sickness. I know this stuff. I understand that. But let us answer these are detractors like Nehemiah. I can't. Why? I'm doing a great work, so I can't come down. I can't come down. Why should the work cease? And while I leave it and come down to you. And then there's some good conversations, but we'll just stop right there. May this work not cease. And all I can do is be faithful in my generation. I don't know about the future. But right now, by God's grace helping us, may this work not cease. May come storm, disease, COVID-19, on and on, or famine, doesn't matter. Keep the doors open. Keep the doors open. God's gospel must be declared in simplicity, in truth, and in love. And in love. Now let's go to our text. This just blessed me no end. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Look at verse 1 and 2 first. We'll take it by sections. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. So there, the work is done. They've got the doors up. And there are all the people, the remnant there. I don't know how many of them are there. But they're there. And so they call an assembly. They call an assembly. For all the people gathered themselves together as one man. Kind of sounds like the book of Acts. They had such in common. That's what we do. We gather. They gathered together. That word means assembled. together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. So here's what we have. This is what we're doing here. You know, first day of the week. All the people are gathered together, as we are this day. All things in common, one Lord, one baptism, one gospel, all for the glory of the Redeemer. Secondly, in verse 1, they brought the book of the law to Moses to open and read. This holy, pure, errorless scripture written by men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We don't get here with one of those, I can't think of what those study guides were when I was going to college, those little yellow, they had Clef Notes. I don't have Clef Notes. I have the Word of God. And if I don't preach it, at least it's read. This is what we do. You know, when I went to church in the Methodist church, nobody brought their Bibles. They just had responsive readings in the back of the hymn book. Nobody brought their Bibles. This book is precious. So Ezra the scribe, they ask him to bring the book. Speak to us in the place of God, as it were, as ambassadors for Christ. And when you go to work, when I go, we go somewhere, you're an ambassador of Christ. Male, female, doesn't matter. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Secondly, it says it was on the first day of the seventh month. Now, this is a glorious time of remembrance in Jewish history. This hadn't been done in a long time. And it's significant. It's a holy convocation. It's kind of like the year of Jubilee, the year of redemption. When we gather together, like these people here, we gather to speak of the saving, redeeming work of the Lord of glory with no aid on our part. It's all of grace. You can't help yourself. He has to do it for you. We, without the aid of man, it's all of great, the grace of God and the work of Christ for sinners such as us. Third thing, verses 3-6. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. A man stood up to read. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. A man stood up to read verses 11-17. For the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. A man stood up to read. And he read. And look at verse 4. This is and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. A pulpit of wood which they had made for that purpose. And verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen and Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Reverence and worship, it goes together. It goes together. This is what we are desirous to do here in this place. Nothing fancy, nothing sophisticated, nothing showy or to be seen of men. We actually want man removed from the equation, except for man to believe and repent unto life. That would be wonderful. But this is what's going on. He read the scriptures and they said, amen. They're one heart and one mind. They agreed with what was being preached. And the thing is, and I have no question that the people who go to these different churches, their members there, they believe what that church preaches. But it's not the Bible. It's not the scriptures. It's not according to the grace of God. It's according to the will of man and the works of man and penances and purgatory and benedictions and horses. Doesn't glorify the Lord. But oh, there's reverence and worship. Look at verse 8. The true gospel declaration. Verse 8. So they read, these men and Ezra, they read in the book, in the law, distinctly. Gave the sense, caused them to understand the reading. Henry Mahan made a comment years ago. He says, if you don't believe what I preach, at least you'll know what you heard. And that's my desire, is to be clear and distinct and give the sense. That is, man cannot save himself. Man is born in sin. Christ is our only righteousness. He's seated right now in the heavenlies, seated at the right hand of God. The work is finished. The work is finished. So, he's simply telling back all the words of God, grace, mercy, judgment, and peace. And this is only found in a substitute. It's not found in the denomination. It's not found in what you know or how much you know or your theology. It's found in a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look at verse 9. There's conviction of sin. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshathel, which means governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites, taught the people and said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They hadn't heard it in a long time. That's like that message that I preached about that arrow. You know, the guy shoots the arrow and it hits its mark, and the king Ahab said, I'm wounded. That's what the gospel preacher wants to hear. Wants to hear God glorified, and he wants to hear from our children or from us, I'm wounded. My flesh is wounded. That's good. That's a good thing. So there's conviction of sin, which is what the law can only do. It tears down. It breaks up that fallow ground. In Galatians, it's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, yet also rightly understood by the Holy Spirit's enabling. The law shows us Christ. It shows us what we can't do. And there's even hope in the law. You will see that in a minute. This book is about the redemptive work of Christ, our King, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. Verse 10, the gospel. Here's the gospel here. Then he said unto them, Nehemiah, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's the gospel. This is Old Testament. This is Nehemiah. There's the gospel. Yes, the gospel is seen in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. For all these pages, old and new, are regarding him. Look with me at verse 10. He said, go your way. Go your way. Not the way of man. We did walk the way of man, but now we walk in God's ways, which is our ways. He's put a new heart in us, a new mind, a new thought to think about our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the way of Christ is a way of peace, comfort, and safety. Look at what he says. Eat the fat. Eat the fat. Reference to the sacrifice. The fat of the sacrifice made for sinners by Christ. Eat of his flesh. This is what we're going to do after the service. Eat of his flesh. Drink of his blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Eat the fat. Look, he says next, drink the sweet. Was there ever any sweeter draught than the complete satisfaction found in the anointed one of God. No. To the believer, he is altogether lovely. And then look at this. Send portions. Not only send portions, but send it to them whom have nothing prepared. That's what we do. We come in here. We're not trying to come in and make sure we're we're not trying to please the Lord as far as that goes, or, you know, he's not benefited by us. Christ is our portion. Send portions. What? Christ is our portion. He's our bread. He's our water. He's our peace. He's our hope. He's our life. He's our door, our shepherd, our daysman. What more do we need? What more do we need than the Lord to be our portion? And look for whom he sent. Look for whom. Portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. In my hands, no price I bring. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. This is those whom he brings. They haven't prepared anything. What a glorious day that would be. Come walking in that door and go, I didn't prepare a thing. Good. You didn't come with your notions of former religion, a former goodness, former works. Well, we do it this way at our church. You didn't come with any of that. You just came and sat and listened. And I hope, like the Bereans, take the things that I say and go home and look them up. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. If you don't have any money, come and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Eat the fat. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. We carry nothing with us but sin. Christ must provide all for us. And he has, because he's completed the work. When he hung on the cross, it said it is finished. It's finished. We'll look at more. Rejoice and have joy. Okay, you're doing all, for this day is holy unto the Lord. We're not saying when we come in here, we just do what we want to do. This is holiness unto the Lord. There's respect and reverence. Don't be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Be happy. The word happy is blessed. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. Happy is the woman. Happy is the boy. Happy is the girl. Rejoice in the portion and provision of this glorious and great martyr lamb. That's it. Rejoice. What am I going to rejoice? The joy in the Lord. He's my portion. He's my provision. Listen to what Marie said. A man once said, the early Christians did not say in dismay, look at what the world has come to. But rather in delight, they said, look who has come into the world. Perhaps we need to be more like those early Christians. While it is impossible for those who walk in the light to ignore or be indifferent towards the work of darkness, yet we should fix our hearts upon Zion's King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and rejoice with thanksgiving that such a one came into this sinful world and performed such amazing, effectual work of love for those who were his natural enemies. And I'm not the power of positive thinking. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is faith active. This is a holy day unto the Lord. But don't be sorry. So I can't keep the law. Christ has kept it. I know I'm going to leave here and I'm going to sin. And that's, you will and I will. But confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. He's every answer, every turn. Christ is the answer. Christ and Christ alone. Revelation chapter 5. verses 6 through 10. Revelation 5, verses 6 through 10. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung. They had joy. A new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast, past tense, redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Joy. 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 Now, in closing, what is the result of the gospel of grace of God when it's believed? And look at how this is worded, verse 11 and 12. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Don't be grieved. You've already grieved over sin, and you'll grieve over it tomorrow. But look to the Lamb of God that was slain. Look to His righteousness. Have peace. There is nothing in this world, in this country, in this time. Oh my, talk about this and talk and talk and talk. I'm tired of talking about it. Let's look to Christ. He's over everything anyway. Come what may, He is over everything. But look at how this is worded. So they said, it's holy, neither be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth. Why? Why are you rejoicing in Christ? How can you possibly rejoice in Christ? Here you go. Because we have understood the words that were declared unto them. That's what I'm doing. I'm declaring unto you that which God has told me to declare and has told you to declare. God is satisfied in and through Christ because they understood the words. I don't know if you can remember when you first believed or if it's, I don't know. Some people can, some people can't. Do you believe now? Do we believe Christ? Do we trust Christ? Do we bow to Him alone? Do we give Him all the glory and salvation? Rejoice. Rejoice with joy unspeakable. Let us do so today and forever. To God be the glory. Nathan, would you close us, please?